Hey, everybody, it's the WaitingForNextYear.com podcast. We are live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And I've got Aaron, OK Pants Sechrist, as his name label says. How's it going, man?
Hey, Craig, how you doing? Is it Sunday night yet?
I was so looking forward to it until Tuesday.
Why? What happened Tuesday?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah. I'm just like been like going over the X's and O's, like how, you know, Coach Stefanski's gonna, you know, just be the field general that he's been, just a tactician on the sidelines, healthy as an ox. And you know how Joel Bitonio is gonna be like plowing garage door sized holes for Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Like, I can't believe I gotta wait another 5 days for this.
Well, I mean, certainly there's no way there's any more bad news, like maybe Baker Mayfield testing positive could be forthcoming. It's not possible. Couldn't happen.
Inconceivable. Jesus fucking Christ.
But man, you know what's funny though? It's like it really almost doesn't matter. It really almost doesn't matter. This whole, oh, the Browns are the Browns. These are the Browns. They could Browns it up. Like everybody's dealing with this. And the Browns have already had a successful year.
This is the difference. Is I go back to what I was saying the week before the last time we played the Steelers, so last week, is I go to people that were just kind of like, oh, I can't believe we could blow this. I go, if I'd have told you 18 weeks ago that you would be playing for a chance to get in the playoffs for 11 wins on the season after what you went through last season, would you take it? Or would, you know, like, you wouldn't, you'd sign up for that no problem. So like, you know, like, I go back to that with this, all this fucking nonsense, because it's just so woefully out of anyone's control, including the Cleveland Browns. You know, it'd be one thing if Kevin Stefanski was at the Barley House last night with no mask on with 723-year-old babes. You know, like, then I'd go, well, fuck this team. But
Cleveland Browns Instagram gate, where he's got his arm around town hall waitresses.
I mean, you know, it's just like, I don't have it in me after doing this shit for 10 months to feel any more agony about it. It's just so fucking out of, it's just such a blameless situation at this point. I mean, I know where I want to place the blame, but I'm not about to open this up for a fucking political discussion. I just don't, I certainly am not interested in that. But in the world of the Cleveland Browns and half the team catching fucking COVID and the coach of the year fucking having COVID and having to sit at home and, in his words, have the TV watch him, you know, what can you fucking do? I've been saying it every day for the last 10 months, you know, like that, and it is what it is. Like, I can't, there's nothing left to be said, which is why I don't know why you're having me on right now, but I'll do my best to fucking be eloquent.
So this is my favorite part. So the real irony of the situation, because we've all been locked on, you know, video conferences. You and I haven't seen each other in person in over a year now. We used to have lunch occasionally.
Whole food parking lot or parts unknown.
I know, right? So we used to get together in person occasionally, but the idea that all right, so we move on. We have Zoom meetings. We figure these things out. We do things electronically. We've got the playbook, right? So the irony is that apparently Kevin Stefanski, one of the major reasons why he can't coach the game from remote is because Ray Farmer used to text the sidelines.
They're not really holding that against him, are they?
No, but that, not like, it's not like a direct, well, the Browns.
Oh, like a precedent in terms of violations.
Like the rules were put in place because Ray Farmer couldn't stop texting Kyle Shanahan and Mike Pettine.
That, you know what? That's, sounds about right. I mean, I guess we'd have to find a way to find some way to blame this on the same old Browns. But sorry, I'm just letting everybody know we're live.
Yeah, they're not really being all that creative with this whole thing. And you know, for a while today, I was going, oh, this is unfair. This is, you know, if it was the Chiefs, they would find a way to delay this game and blah blah blah. And then I started to think about it, and like, the NFL really doesn't care. You know, they're a TV show. They need to produce a certain number of episodes, and the minute that they can reduce the number of teams in the field, also known as the risk factors for COVID, the better. So they've eliminated over half the league by starting the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And in the first round of the playoffs, they're going to eliminate the other half of the field. So they don't really care. They just want to get this shit out of the way.
I mean, the time for them to be, I feel like the NBA set the standard for creative problem solving throughout this whole thing. So, you know, the horse is long out of the barn with scheduling for this shit. You know, like a friend had a good idea. He told me like months ago, he goes, they should just move the Super Bowl and playoffs back 3 weeks now and just give themselves a buffer window for all the games they're going to have to reschedule because of the shit. And the later the season got on, the window for that closed. So that's sort of not an option, but I'm kind of amazed that we got this far as a league and the Browns got this far all the way through the regular schedule. When you figure you have, you know, 53 players plus however many people, coaches, people that work in the building and stuff, you know, you're talking probably well over 100 people that all go home and have their own individual bubbles that you kind of have to just count on them to stay confined to, that this is the first time in 18 weeks they've had a major issue with it.
Well, and COVID's taught us that you're only as strong as your weakest link. And so you're trusting a roster of 53 regular players plus practice squad, plus coaches, plus what, you know, social media interns, whatever else.
Yeah. It's a massive production.
And all of a sudden, you know, it only takes one person to go to Barley House or to do the kinds of things that we deem to be unsafe in this time period.
To be clear, I feel like this whole team, specifically this year's Browns, they all were probably minding their P's and Q's with this thing and staying home and staying hunkered down, like, because they knew they had a playoff quality team on to they knew they had a huge opportunity to blow. You know, if they're a fucking 4-12 team again, you'd be probably seeing them out with no, you know, it would be a different story. But that is a credit to Kevin Stefanski for sort of, you know, getting everybody believing in this thing. And that's why I guess I'm not like I told you so guy, but the one take I had for months that I kind of stuck to was, I go, fuck like the Super Bowl, fuck even winning a game in the playoffs. I don't care if they get trucked 56-0 by whoever they play in the wild card game. Just get in the playoffs, like win your way into the playoffs. And I will take that and walk away with that, because this whole situation is so unpredictable and COVID is so, it's just also uncertain. This type of shit was inevitable, was bound to happen, and it did happen. So you got to kind of just say, well, 11-5, you know, it is what it is, as much as I hate saying that.
Well, and one of the things that they were talking on the previous podcast and that I've been thinking a lot about is, like, if the pressure was all on the Steelers, if the pressure was off the Browns to win this game before all this stuff happened, I mean, they're really playing with house money now. There's no embarrassment on the Browns' part, mm-mm, no matter what happens on Sunday night.
No, look, I guess with all that said, they still have a chance to go into Pittsburgh and win this game, and I shouldn't be so doom and gloom about it. But when you literally don't let them have their fucking head coach
or practice,
I have tattooed on my arm PMA, which you get the point. It stands positive for positive mental attitude. So, like, no one's a more optimistic than me, but I mean, how many more cards can you stack against this shit? Now, that said, you got a healthy Nick Chubb, you got a healthy Kareem Hunt, you got Baker, and you got your wide receiver core, most of it, as of now. So you got a chance. And yeah, I mean, I guess the whole charm of the playoffs is if you get in, anything can happen. So let's just hope that anything happens.
How crazy is it that, like, the Ravens and the Titans are at an advantage because they got their giant COVID outbreak out of the way like 5-6 weeks ago?
Well, that was the thing that turned me into kind of Homer crybaby guy, is because they moved that fucking Steelers Ravens game 3 times, and the Ravens had what, 20 starters out because of COVID?
Yep.
So not that many more than we're up against now. And I don't think it's up for debate. This is a way more important game than the one the Steelers and the Ravens played weeks ago. So yep. If you're going to push that game back, I think fans in the Browns organization have a place to say, like, yo, so what's up? Like, you know, but at any rate, I guess, as with everything with this idiotic fucking pandemic, it's the card you're dealt. It's kind of the way it's all shaken out, and you just got to live with it. You got to swallow it. So I don't know. It is an unprecedented level of Brownsing in a new and creative and courageous way that I guess beats the other way I've seen the Browns Browns it.
Yeah, but even if they Browns it, they've already won 11 games.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess the Browns-ing it is not the fair term, because this is out of their control, and
it's the first time in our lives the Browns have like come up against this kind of thing, and we couldn't point at them and go, "What did you do? What did you do?" Yeah,
I mean,
the staph infection thing. They were the only team in the league that had to deal with that, you know, and at least now this is something everybody has to deal with. Unfortunately, the timing of it for the Browns sucks. They're kind of in the barrel right now.
Yeah. It's just a blameless situation, and I'm not trying to jump on a pedestal, but even when Rudy Gobert was getting crucified, when this shit all started for like spreading it, I'm like, how the fuck is he supposed to know? It's a once in a forever plague situation we're living through here, and I guess this would be the thing that kept us from moving forward in the playoffs, is just an ancient plague. You know, it's
a pestilence.
It's the comedian in me, you know, assuming everybody stays healthy and recovers. What do you do but laugh? I got no tears left to cry about any of this shit anymore.
No, that's absolutely true. I mean, you and I have been podcasting about this since March or April or May, whatever, mm-hmm. You know, whatever. And here we are, like, we crossed the line into 2021, and we're still basically talking about the same shit we were like 8 months ago.
I mean, I was the guy that was saying the Browns are definitely, there's no way they're not playing in the first ever empty stadium Super Bowl. Yeah. You know? So I'm still not technically wrong.
It's not off the table.
Look, I'm a lifelong Clevelander. I'm a lifelong Cleveland Browns fan. There's still a glimmer, and there's still four quarters of football left to play. And I got to believe that, you know, Kevin's fucking maxing out his Wi-Fi right now with his coaching staff, just sort of installing some kind of game plan that involves handing the ball to Nick and Kareem 700 times. But I don't know. I mean, we'll be watching, right? Like, assuming the game doesn't get canceled, we'll be watching.
No, and I still was able to, like, sit down with my kids and be like, hey, look, 18 years, think about that. The Browns haven't been to the playoffs, not only since you were born, but almost double my oldest, you know?
It's nuts. It's nuts. It's this.
Can you bring yourself back to 2002, 2003?
Yeah, I was trying to get my metalcore band signed as fucking Trustkill Records or whatever fucking emo hardcore label would have me. I mean,
I love Trustkill Records.
I was drunk off my ass across the street from Barley House at the Fancy Boy Bar, tattooed up with Warped Tour hair, hitting on chicks I had no business trying to hit on, and leaving with a couple of them sometimes. But that was fucking 2002. And fast forward 18 years later, I suppose I could probably still be doing that shit. But
I was probably seeing Thursday at the Agora.
Yeah. I was probably opening for Thursday at the, you know, it's just like
playing the after show in the ballroom.
I don't want to incriminate myself here, because I do have some Brown stories in bars, but I'll leave it at, I know very vividly why the early 2000 Browns never stood a chance of going far in the playoffs. Because if you know me by name, going around bars in Cleveland in the early 2000s, and you're on the Browns, probably ain't a good thing. And I'll leave it at that. but we had fun. And yeah, it's just nice to know that those guys fucking put together a winning season. Cause not to get like, my father's in good health. He's not too old, but it was cool to sit there and finally see, you know, Baker hit that 3-yard run and fucking ice the game up and be like, they're not a fucking embarrassment anymore. You know?
Yeah. And my dad's too old and tired to care. the way he did, like my dad, he spread it. My brother and I have it completely and totally. My sister still has it. And,
I'm sorry.
No, I know. But like, but my dad's like 73 now and he wants to care, but he can't find it in himself to care the same way.
That's what heartache does to a man. You know, I knew as the game wore on and I watched, like, me and my dad just were like doing the what is it? The depression cobra stance thing. Yeah.
Surrender cobra.
Just yelling motherfucker one too many times in front of my nephew. I was just like, well, at least we have this level of emotion left in us to care. And, you know, and they're playing good enough where you're not just laughing and tweeting jokes about the game before it's over and shit. Cause it's so out of hand. Like it's just a fucking bummer, man. I don't know what else to say about any of it. I mean, it is as predictable as it is shocking.
But let's go back a little bit then. Cause I think it's important. I get myself into trouble on social media because I engage a little bit too frequently into the Sashi wars and whatever else. And without getting into that whole thing, like I still maintain that no matter how good a draft picks or how many assets you acquired, that 1 in 31, 2-season span is like never worth it in an entertainment venture. Like if you were a TV show, if you were Lost, you'd be canceled before you get to season 3.
No, I don't think. I mean, if it's just
as so fans, a lot of people pointing at their head going, fans it's accept that. Brilliant.
It's literally like we could go walk to the backyard. We could either walk through the back door of our house or we can walk, you know, around the block 10 times to get to the backyard. Like it's like, you know, it's we're here now. And I guess it's just the comedian in me thinks it's hilarious. We went through the things we went through to finally get here. And, you know, if it would have been like a fluke season, like 2007 and this happened, I would have been probably more crushed, but it's sort of like, okay, assuming everybody recovers healthy, you're going to be right back here next year in a similar position. Probably maybe it stands to reason you're in a better position because you'll have a full, you know, you'll have a full secondary and linebacker core and you'll have a, you know, more fleshed out defense and stuff. It's wild to see what a good coach can do for this team, though. What a great coach could do. I'll call him great. I mean, it's crazy.
He'd have to be great to pull off what he pulled off this year in this time period and everything else.
Baker deserves a lot of the credit for getting cleaning up the interceptions and improving. But, you know, he could have easily been broken by another bad to mediocre coach, and then Kevin Stefanski came in and, you know, helped him, you know, right the ship. And then beyond that, he fucking put together an 11-5 season with no training camp, no preseason, you know, having to do like all this shit via Zoom and stuff. I mean, I could barely keep my freelance art studio going and via Zoom, and it's just me drawing pictures, you know? So being able to win over a whole locker room full of guys in your first year doing this and win games and, you know, lose and then pull the things back together like they did, and then fucking play against the Titans and the Ravens like you did. It's all just nice to see. It's nice to see it, and as opposed to us talking again about who we need to trade to try to get Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence.
The most impressive thing to me is how they haven't let any of the negativity linger. Like they haven't strung two losses back to back. Every single time they've lost,
that's the wildest fucking stat to me of any,
isn't it?
Of them. And there's a lot of impressive stats, but that one to me was the most telling.
That's the biggest sea change that I've seen with Kevin Stefanski and you know, maybe some of it's a little bit of luck and a little bit of fortune, just schedule fortune. But how many times have we seen a somewhat promising, you know, streak of games, and then all of a sudden, uh-oh, now they're streaking in the wrong direction, and we 2, 3, 4 losses back to back to back to back.
I mean, I hate sports buzzwords in football, but that's what a culture change does. Those games people were complaining about, and those alleged bad teams you beat and you were feeling good about, those teams you would have lost to last year. That's the 5-game difference between this year and last year. You know, most other coaches we've had would have lost the locker room by before or around Thanksgiving, you know, and we'd be looking at again picking in the top 10. But that's the difference. That's the sort of what happens when you establish an identity and you show a locker room full of guys you can win a game that you have no business winning convincingly. So I mean, I don't know. It's if we weren't going through a pandemic and we were allowed to actually go to games and celebrate the shit, it would be a lot easier to really kind of get your head around it, but it's still pretty surreal. It'd be surreal if we were still playing the game with an actual head coach Sunday night. Like, but it's everything's so fucking, I guess I'm not big on COVID scolding or mask scolding or like pointing fingers, but I mean, did anybody think that it was a great idea to let 12,000 people into a stadium and now we're losing half our roster and half our coaching staff to COVID 3 or 4 days later?
I'm not sure that there's a correlation, but kinda. I mean,
what do you point it to? I mean, what? I mean, for the sake of just conversation, I mean, it was like there was a point in the game Sunday when the announcers go, "We held a moment of silence for the 350,000 people that have died," and they pan around the stadium, and there's thousands of people in the crowd, and I was like, "Does anybody see the irony?" Of, you know, I don't mind go to the Browns game. I have friends that went. I know people that were at the game. I don't think they're scumbags for doing it. I'm just saying, acknowledge and have some awareness about how insane the situation is. Don't have a fucking moment of silence for victims of a pandemic when you're clearly just letting thousands of people still gather in a space. I don't like.
In my entire life, I've never encountered a bigger wedge between me and other humans. And so even as you say that, and I agree with you, I kind of shudder because I've never encountered an issue in my entire life where I heard people talking about, well, you know, everybody's got a choice and it's a personal choice, and you've got, and even people even talk about the vaccine, like it's a personal choice. Like, no. Every choice you're making in a pandemic as it relates to COVID is a community choice. Whether you have 12,000 people in the stands, whether you decide to go to Christmas, whether you decide to have a Hanukkah celebration, whatever you decide to do, every single decision you make is not a personal choice, but a community choice. And we're not used to that. We're used to saying, well, if I don't wear a helmet on my motorcycle, it's a personal choice.
I think it also doesn't help that you have a government that spent the last 4 years aggressively trying to make you question facts and science. And look, I'll go there with it. This is the result of a calculated effort to just make well-meaning adult citizens of America question just very rational scientific things. So here we are.
Yeah.
We figured this shit out months ago. We should all be open mouth kissing over at the Barley House or fucking pick a bar and not worrying about catching an incurable illness. But here we are, 2021. This is us. So, well,
and you know, the irony of the whole mask thing, I kind of think maybe masks aren't super duper effective, but that doesn't mean to me that we shouldn't wear them.
We can agree on that. Okay.
It means that maybe you should be less brave because you have a mask on.
Just like, if you don't think masks are the best solution, I'm expecting you to pull the antidote to COVID coronavirus out of your pocket. Like,
no, I'm expecting you to be even more careful. But yeah, some people are like, well, masks don't work, then F it. I'm just going to do whatever. And I'm okay, so masks don't work perfectly well, so you need to be even more careful.
Yeah, I mean, but that's a relentlessly American quality.
I know.
Almost a uniquely only American quality, you know? Everyone turns into fucking Paul Revere the second they're asked to put a fucking a fucking gator on to go to fucking Circle K for 5 minutes. But that's where we are. I mean, that's us. Freedom at any cost, right? Like,
I've lived in Massachusetts. I've lived in other states. Like, do you think it's kind of, I mean, Ohio's a very much a certain type of state right now.
No, I'm not.
Do you think it's American?
It's American. There's fucking idiots in every 50 state, all 50 states of this union. And I'm so over the division that we face. Yeah, there's a lot of fucking morons in Ohio, but there's just, there's a lot of people. We are a dumb and violent country. And for all the good and all the things I love about this country, we're fucking morons. Just are. I mean, it's, you know, we're not going to see a fucking concert this year. We're just not. I'm just emotionally preparing myself for it. Like, it's just because we're stupid. It's like there's idiots that know they're idiots, and there's idiots that have no fucking idea. And those are the people that want to be on a viral video not wearing a mask at Walmart on a Tuesday morning at 11 a.m.
For the principle of it.
Yeah, yeah. That's the hill people want to die on. You know, it's just, I don't know. I'm no like expert on sociology and human behavior and stuff, but it's like, I was at the bodega yesterday and some dude, you know, I don't know if he was trying to roast me or not, but he was asking me why I wore like trashed van sneakers and stuff. And he wasn't wearing a mask. And I was like, are you trying to get me on a video right now? Like, guys, like, you want my handle? Like, you okay pants on Twitter. If you were trying to turn it into a Circle K moment, I don't care, but it's,
I was just trying to buy some
dude eating a Twisted Tea can, by the way, in this scenario, just so we're clear.
Just trying to find some Lawson's chip dip.
I don't know, man. Like, it seems like we fucking had these pandemic podcasts like 4 years ago.
I know.
It's so wild. Like, it's so nuts. It's just the tragic poetry of us talking about a Browns playoff trip with no coaching staff and half, you know, a skeleton crew taking the field because of a pandemic. It just kind of sadly enough fits.
Yeah. Live music might be the most painful thing for me.
It's easily the most painful thing for me, because as much as I can pretend to be like a talking head sports idiot guy, you know, like, music is shows and the hardcore scene and heavy metal is like what made me the adult I am and stuff. So, you know, it's why
you're the only man I know who's been to the hi-fi, whatever it's called this week, more times than I have.
So the Foundry/Hi-Fi/
Blind Lemon.
Yeah. I mean, I went there when it was the Blind Lemon in, you know, like,
I lived on West 117th Street.
Yeah. I mean, I was 4 or 5 shows a week. No problem. Whether I was playing them or going to them, that just was it. And then as you get older and you get more jaded and stuff, you know, before COVID, it would be like, I don't really feel like going to see that band again. And I was like, I'm fucking tired. I don't want to. And then, so like, I've literally had 10 months just dealing with this shit, thinking about all the shows I said no to, or all the shows I showed up too late and just hung out outside at with my friends and stuff, and didn't just acted too cool to go into and stuff. And you think about all these things and it's like, you know, yeah, it makes you value and it makes you appreciate these things when you had them and stuff. But at the same time, it's like, I go back to, none of this needed to happen. Like, not a single, could you stop this shit from coming to America? No. Did you make it a million times worse than it had to be? You sure fucking did. And
we might still not have live music. We might still not have live music, but we would have, this number of people didn't have to die and our hospitals didn't have
You know, like, loaded. Yeah, you know, fuck me. I was like, I can't go to the Cheesecake Factory. Yeah, there's almost, there's going to be 400,000 people dead, you know, by Valentine's Day. And it's like, yeah, I guess that's the bigger picture. And it's like, yeah, we can bitch about Myles Garrett not having a full gas tank and not looking like he's full self. He could have fucking died, you know, like it's, and, you know, I guess statistically you had to believe that one of these guys was going to catch it, professional athletes, and it was going to hit them in a different way. And it wasn't going to be just them putting up with 14 days of asymptomatic stuff going on and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's, again, we kind of got to remind ourselves it's serious. It's a 6'5", 250-pound dude that's built like fucking an X-Man. If he's still huffing and puffing weeks later after catching this shit, we're, it's...
What chance do you and I have? He's like the specimen of all humanity. Well,
it goes to show that no one knows anything about this disease. This
I was making a joke, but you're right. Yeah. It's completely random.
Oh no, dude. Yeah. If I catch it, sayonara. I mean, like, I'm close to looking like Myles Garrett, but it's not, you know,
I'm just glad I quit smoking cigarettes in 2006. I feel like that gives me a better chance.
I don't know. It's also, you know, I was just talking literally like before I hopped on with you with one of my buddies that I played shows with fucking 18 or 19 years ago in my bands that went nowhere. And we were talking about, you know, like it laid the foundation for the rest of my life. It gave me literally all my friends. It gave me a career. This fucking thing of mine that this weird little fraternity of playing fucking screaming music and stuff for like 12 to 15 of our friends and stuff. So the fact that there's a whole, you know, generation of younger adults and kids that can't experience that, and that my nephews haven't been allowed to play with anybody else besides each other for the last 10 months. Like, yeah, man, it's like, it's why I got bags under my eyes. It's why I'm depressed. It's like why I'm been fighting this thing for so long. It's hard to not turn every single moment into like a weird, just a weird moment like this. Like we're just fucking bullshitting about how terrible everything is.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true.
And I mean, it could be worse. I'll make that clear, but yeah, it's fucking exhausting.
Yeah. I've found out that my parents are going to be vaccinated on Thursday, which means that, you know, all right. So start the countdown 30 days. My kids will finally presumably be able to hug their grandparents for the first time.
So how does that work? They get shot up and then they have to wait 30 days for it to work through their system?
They get the first shot, they wait 21 days, get the second shot, they have to wait 9 or 10 days after the second shot, and then they're as good as they're going to be.
Meaning what? They can't catch it or they can't like transmit it or both? Dude, I don't know. Like,
I can't figure it out either, dude. I can't figure it out. Like I'm pretty, so I think they're safe from catching it. They're safe from catching it.
Yeah.
I have no idea if they could spread it or not, but I think we're just not worried about my kids. I don't know.
My buddy's crystallized the whole situation.
How dare you ask me a question I didn't have the answer to.
Dr. Lindell, I just figured you'd have this shit sorted out for me. Attorney Joe, you're the guy with like a whole business and a whole actual business and a whole family. I figure you're smarter than me. I just thought I could look to you for the answer. But my buddy just put it pretty succinctly early on in this thing. Like when this thing had dragged on for a few more weeks than people expected it to, he's like, there's just a lot of rules with this, like this illness. He's like, there's a lot of rules. And I was like, yeah, it's the best way of putting it, man. I just don't like, you know, and I'm not turning into Rage Against the Machine guy, but you got like fucking Mike DeWine who will come up every week and be like, I hope everybody's been behaving themselves. You know, if you have to go to the store after 10 p.m., don't do it.
I'm he's like, a caricature from Black Mirror.
It's just, there's no, I don't respect any of it. I don't respect any of them. Why would I? Like, why? You have all the command of an entire state that a hungover 23-year-old substitute teacher has that's working his first gig. Like, why would I respect any of it? It's I finally understand why the Browns sucked for the first 14 coaches we've had for the last 20 years, because I get it now. It's like when you realize the dude that's supposed to be in charge has no answers and really doesn't appear to be trying, why the fuck would I? You know, my unemployment, if I was getting it, cash is the same either way, so I'll just be on my way with it. Like, you tell me when you figured it out.
Yeah.
No, you guys work for me. It's not the other way around. I pay taxes somehow.
All right. So were you able to fit? We got like 10 minutes left. Let's try and finish on like somewhat of a high note. No, forget sports. Have any joy over the last few weeks? I always look for TV shows, movies, anything that sparked a little bit of joy. I'm going to give you a food thing while you think about it.
Oh, no, I've got an answer. I mean, besides the fact that like the holidays just kind of blew for me, but they were like nice. Like I got to see my family and I keep a pretty tight bubble with them. So it's like, it was cool. Cobra Kai season 3, watched the whole season in a whole day. Really fun show to watch. Is it Sopranos level viewing? No, but it's a way better show than it has any business being for what it is. You know, it's definitely a cut above your standard nostalgia mining.
So I was going to give you a food one. So yeah. The weirdest thing over the pandemic that has given me a lot of comfort, so I just keep buying, is string cheese. So
go on.
I've got like a string cheese power ranking going now.
Oh man, you are quarantined.
And I discovered something. So number one, I love here in Cleveland, I love the cheese heads, the cheese heads. I can't remember the brand name. But then I discovered that I sometimes find myself in upstate New York where I also don't talk to anybody and I hang out by myself with my family.
It's a good place to do that because I've been into upstate New York. So
it's nice. It's nice.
It's actually not much different than the Midwest. It's a little more forestry up there, but yeah, go on.
It's just a different place to change the scenery, to do the same shit. But so I discovered up there, I bought some Poly O string cheese,
uh-huh,
which is wonderful. But then I discovered that Poly O got purchased by Kraft. So if you can find in a Giant Eagle Kraft string cheese, it's the same damn thing.
Well, that's a bummer.
I know. I was thinking.
Do you want to hear a weird food thing about me?
But why string cheese? Why? I don't know.
I don't know because I'm a bad person to talk about cheese with because I don't like most cheese in its pure form. Now, if you take that string cheese and you roll it, like you dip it in egg wash and then you roll it in breadcrumbs and drop it in a deep fryer and give me 5 more of them, I'll eat it in seconds. But I don't like never really ate cubed cheese or string cheese. I'll eat anything else besides that. But for some reason, as long as I've been like alive, there's something smell wise and texturally about cheese like that I can't fuck with.
But mozzarella sticks are the greatest.
Yeah. It's just the sublimation of just raw cheese into whatever, like weird lava that's like coated in breading. It's fantastic. That being said, if you want to upgrade the cheese sticks, Arby's, and for my money, makes the best mozzarella stick in the game of any level. Go to any fancy restaurant, any fast food restaurant, any Uber Eats, whatever. Arby's, the goat for cheese sticks.
See, I've never tried the cheese sticks at Arby's.
It's my favorite thing on the menu, and I mean, if anybody knows me, they know I love Arby's, and I like ride hard for it. But that's my favorite thing on the menu.
That's funny because we've got a very local to us paninis, and my kid loves pickle chips,
mm-hmm,
and so we started getting the mozzarella sticks from there too. Because, I mean, I don't in non-pandemic years, I don't eat crap like that, but I mean, who cares? I'm not going to the beach anyway. Who the
I've been eating better for the last 10 months than I have probably in the last 10 years. Because
not me, man. I've been eating worse.
Well, I don't, you know, it makes sense because you're with your family the whole time and you're like a married guy, and I'm for some reason trying to keep this shit in single shape because it's just me and my wiener dog in my apartment. So it's like I lost 12 pounds this year, last year. Mm-hmm. I still eat like an asshole here and there just because you get bored and you kind of got to get it out of your system. But beyond that, like, it's a lot of spinach smoothies and a lot of just oatmeal and shit.
And the occasional trash can of nachos from Guy Fieri.
I ate the trash can nachos after the Browns lost to the Jets. And I didn't even use the trash. I was so dejected. I didn't even use the weird trash can. I'm looking at it right now on the top of my cupboard. I didn't even use the trash can thing. I just poured it out on a fucking pan and then threw it in the oven. And I was just joylessly stood over my sink and ate them. You know, like, that was my dinner that night.
Well, you're on my list, brother. When this shit's over, we're gonna get back together in person. I miss shaking hands, bro hugs.
I miss all of it, dude. I mean, I just it's all just profoundly hard, and I wish I had any solution related thing to offer up besides just restating the obvious that it's just hard times right now. But it ain't gonna last. So,
yep. Give me that vaccine.
Yeah, I'll take it. I don't know. Give me a fucking, cut it up on a mirror. I'll snort it. I don't know how it works. I'll do it. I don't care. Does it mean I can go to a bar and talk to somebody? I'll fucking take it. I don't care. But yeah, thanks as always for having me on.
All right, man. Stay well. Good to see you.
Likewise, man. Take care.
Bye, everybody.
The Korean War has sadly been known as the Forgotten War, but half a century earlier, the United States was locked in a bloody conflict in Asia that's been all but erased from the history books. Hi, I'm Alex Hastie, the host of Ohio vs. the World, an American history podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. In our newest episode, we speak to experts about the Philippine-American War, America's first Asian counterinsurgency conflict. The heroes, the villains. We'll discuss President McKinley, Admiral Dewey, the vicious brutality of the fighting, and the scandals and war crimes that nearly sunk Theodore Roosevelt's presidency. Check out our show, Ohio vs. the World, on the Evergreen Podcast Network, for our new episode about America's most forgotten war. Now back to the show.